you're in the wrong church. You need to get out where the power is, where the anointing is flowing, if you're going to see people healed, and people around today need them. I think about the next miracle that we're going to look at here is a raging storm in verse 40 of Mark 4. And Jesus said to the disciples there, how is it that you're so timid? How is it that you have no faith?
Yes.
Now, there's weak faith, there's strong faith, and there's no faith. And here he is saying, you have no faith, and yet they had seen him perform many, many miracles.
Well, and I think of that scripture in some translations, Darren. The scripture is, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And timidity can really get us into a whole lot of trouble. When God calls you to do something and you shrink back, I think of that scripture in Hebrews 10 also. It says, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. Now, when we are hesitant, when we're timid, when we shrink back, what is the result? It's destruction. But we are of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now, he told his own disciples, and this was early on in his ministry, they were new to what Jesus was doing, and yet I believe he expected them to have some faith. And I believe he was grieved when he saw they had no faith.
Now, you know what this says to me here in Mark 4, when we're talking about the raging storm and Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus took what he had, his assets, I'll say it that way, his abilities, his power and authority and so on, and he subdued the situation. And I believe that's part of the message here that often we've missed. Here Jesus is saying, well, I'll take care of the storm, okay? Then the next miracle we have, he says, I'll take care of the demons that are tormenting the demoniac.
Yes.
I'll drive out the legion of demons. That's no problem. I'm going to, and back in Genesis 1, it says, we're made in his image and likeness. God says, let's go down and make man in our like we are. And he said, I want them to rule, subdue, and dominate. You do the ruling, subduing, and dominating in your situation with the power that's in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. But you got to know who he is and know who he is in you and know who you are in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to take those things on and settle it with the power of God.
Yes. Now, this miracle number 8 that you're talking about, this man came running to Jesus. The man knew he had a deep need to know Jesus. And yet, Jesus is the one who spoke to the spirits in that man. The man had a secondary role here, really. Jesus had the attention of the spirits, and the man was called Legion because there were many, many spirits, legions of evil spirits. And he spoke to those spirits, come out of him, you unclean. Here's that word unclean again. We've heard it once before in Mark. It's defiled. It's unclean. And so it makes that person it
also,
lives in
yeah,
very
perverse.
Defiled. Yes, very defiled.
Well, I think it's interesting that there is a scripture that says every knee will bow.
Oh, praise God.
And I think here the compelling power and authority of Jesus drove the spirits to come and fall down in front of him because Jesus had more authority and power than they had.
Yes.
And I think that's such an amazing thing to me. And Jesus took it on. He took it on, I mean, you might say head on.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I really caught my eye this time as I was studying Mark was in verse 15, this man who just previously was naked, running naked, he had chains and everything around him. He was clothed and in his right mind. Clothed in his right mind. And I want to speak to those of you who are listening that when Jesus touches you, when Jesus comes into your life, when Jesus comes into the life of your friends around you and your loved ones, you're going to see change. If you don't see change, they haven't really accepted Jesus. There's got to be change when they have said that Jesus has come into their heart and changed their life. Darren, there has to be change.
There has to be change. Amen. And what we had here was really a deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus took it on, cast the problem, the root problem, out of the man, and then he could function normally. Now, let me say this to you. I believe that some people, their will is incarcerated by the devil. The devil has their will. One of the biggest things you could do for someone you love or someone you're ministering to is liberate their will so they can hear what the voice of God is saying to them. Maybe it's being spoken through you or somebody else or through a book. And sometimes we have to get up there and take the spiritual shackles off that person so they're free enough and liberated enough to hear the message of Jesus. Otherwise, they're not going to hear it. They're just not going to hear it. And Jesus obviously did that in this case here with the demoniac.
Well, miracle number 9 is in 5:25, Mark 5:25. And here was a precious woman. Jesus was actually on his way to Jairus' house to pray for his daughter, who people said were already dead. And a woman came and crawled to him and touched the hem of his garment. This woman, Darren, had had hemorrhaging, vaginal hemorrhaging, for 12 years. I cannot imagine what this woman went through for 12 long years, constant.
According to the law, she wasn't even supposed to be mingling there in that crowd.
No.
So she was breaking the religious laws of the day. And she was risking her life, in a sense, to go up there and touch Jesus. But I believe, back to the story of the man that was let down through the roof, I believe they knew, and it was true. If you didn't get close to the man, you didn't get anything. Nothing happened for you.
That's true.
You didn't get delivered. You didn't get healed. Yes. This woman somehow knew that. She said, if I can just touch him, if I could touch the hem of his... And she wasn't the only one.
No.
But every time they touched Jesus, they got healed.
They did. Well... although he was being touched, he was being pressed in by the crowd here. And I don't know how many people were, you know, healings were manifested in them who touched him. But this one woman caught his attention because, you know, he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, oh, Master, there are people crowding around you and touching you everywhere. But he knew power had gone out of him. He knew a miracle had taken place.
I can tell you the ones that got healed that touched Jesus were the ones that had faith.
That's true.
That faith is the trigger that makes a demand on the healing power of Jesus. That's the way it flows, and that's one reason why we're teaching a series in Mark. When you have the faith and you reach out to Jesus, that triggers a response, and he is set up to respond. He's a responder.
Oh, he is, and here it says in verse 34 of Mark 5, Darren, you're absolutely right. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith. And she had the faith to go and try it. It's like... go in peace, you are healed from your affection. It's like the story you told of the people that had not had rain, and they prayed for rain, and they all came to church, and the only one who brought an umbrella who really believed was a little girl. They had all prayed for rain. They hoped rain was coming, but this little girl knew rain was coming. There's a real difference in that kind of faith.
Well, I'll tell you, that affliction left, that's for sure, when Jesus spoke to them. And then we have a little girl that's dead here in Mark 5, and that's the 10th miracle in the book of Mark. And Jesus said, don't be afraid any longer, only believe. Mm-hmm. He put everyone out of the house except the parents, Peter, James, and John. Now, I want to say this to you folks. People are in unbelief. That's negative faith. And it can cancel out what you're trying to get done there in terms of a healing deal. So if you got somebody around that's into mockery or blasphemy or strong unbelief or tradition or whatever, I wouldn't even try to pray in their presence. And sometimes we have to put those unbelievers, hardness of heart, those people are in that category, you need to get away from them if you're going to do business with God and see God move on your behalf.
Well, and they may be in the crowd of believers, but they need to be cast out of the house.
And they may be in your family.
That's right.
You know, and it's not a time to be, oh, you got to be so polite. We're worried about political correctness. We're worried about protocol. I'll tell you, when you've got something really serious, that's not a time to be worrying about all that nonsense. You need to get in there and go for it, because the devil can hide behind political correctness. He can hide behind protocol. And that's why, Barb, in many of these churches, they don't see God move. Mm-hmm. They've got their protocol. Oh, we got to do 3 hymns. And why, we couldn't possibly stop and pray for anybody. Why, it's not on. Why it's not in the bulletin.
Yes.
Well, I believe that's what God was talking about when he says your traditions invalidate the word of God. Your traditions also invalidate a time when God could heal. You remember when we had Freedom Chapel? Sometimes God would say, I want you to stop right now, first thing, and pray for people. Forget your order of service that you had planned. Lay down the songs. Lay down everything else and pray for people right now. Mm-hmm. Well, it takes courage to do that, because we get into a habit pattern. I was saying, we got to do this first, that second, that third, that for why. You couldn't possibly pray for people before you take the offering. We've never done that before. Well, folks, we need to lay those things down, those traditions down, and go with the Spirit of God. If he says, pray for him right now, do it.
Amen.
Thank you, Barbara, for that one amen.
Oh, I want to say, maybe on the next half hour here, that I want to talk a little bit more about these people that were praying for this little girl that had died. Because I believe it has something a lot to do with what you're saying about the tradition.
Amen.
Of men.
You know, I sense people's hearts are being enlightened, Barbara, as we teach, and that's good news. Well, we're going to go for it on the second half of this message. God bless you.